Hello, everyone. This is Rosalind Sudaka. I'm the founder of National Child Centered Divorce Month and the Child Centered Divorce Network, and I want to welcome you to a wonderful series of free teleseminars given by divorce experts around North America who are sharing their expertise with us on a number of very important topics, and I'm just thrilled to
connect to the conference now. So I'm in the conference now.
I'm just thrilled to be able to have all of these wonderful people facilitating these teleseminars with us. I want to take just 1 second, and I'm going to mute the line. Okay, and now I want to tell you who's on board to speak to you tonight. We have Susan Allen, Jeffrey Malone, and Carolyn Ellis. And the topic is, can there be a gift for you and your children in your divorce? I want to allow each of them to introduce themselves briefly so you'll get an understanding of the scope of their background and expertise. So why don't we start with you, Susan?
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I am the founder of the Marriage Forum and also the creator of the HeartSpace System of Communication. I'm a certified mediator. I do telephone mediations throughout the world, and I also am physically located in L.A., and I'm considered to be America's leading divorce coach, and I'm also a marriage coach. My system of reconciliation is 100% effective when even one of the spouses learns, masters, and uses the components of the HeartSpace system, which includes such things as the six-part conversation that allows people to create a peaceful solution. This works really is crucial when we're talking about co-parenting in a separation or a divorce. And I offer 1 free hour of telephone consultation to anybody anywhere, and my website, which is like 800 pages, which includes links to the ebooks and the videos and everything, is thedivorceforum.com.
Thank you, Susan. And now let me introduce you to a certified master integrative coach, Jeffrey Malone.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Actually, I'm a senior professor at the Institute for Integrative Coaching. I've been training master coaches for the last 5-6 years. And my specific specialty is a concept called spiritual divorce, but it's really relationship and relationship communication and relationship resolution using a spiritual and emotional-based form of healing. It's all process-based work. I've been working in this field since the year 2000, been working with Debbie Ford using the shadow and the shadow concepts within the context of this. And this work and the work I do is really aimed at training people and working with people to heal their hearts. That in reality, it's the problem is never with the relationship, it's with the individual. And if the work is done with the individual and the person heals their heart, they find themselves in a place where they're open to a new relationship or some form of a new relationship. I have my own private practice, and I train and work with coaches all over the world. I currently have over 115 students from all over the world being trained in the work we do in relationship.
Thank you. And our third presenter is author and founder of Thrive After Divorce, Carolyn Ellis.
Hi, everyone, and thanks, Rosalind, for having me with this wonderful panel here that you've assembled. My name is Carolyn Ellis, and I'm the founder of ThriveAfterDivorce.com. I'm also the creator of the Thrive Principles, which are 6 easy principles that anyone can use to turn a situation of adversity, whether it's a divorce or a financial challenge or health challenge, and turn that situation of adversity into one of opportunity and really learn to see the gifts in the, you know, those curveballs that life tends to throw our way. I really got into this work through my own experience of divorce about 10 years ago when my children were quite young. I've trained with Debbie Ford and with Jeff. He's a wonderful master coach and professor, and I mean, really, that work is so powerful. Changed my life and really has, you know, led me to do some amazing things, such as writing my book, which was is called The 7 Pitfalls of Single Parenting: What to Avoid to Help Your Children Thrive After Divorce. And really what I've done with Thrive After Divorce and the kind of coaching and teleseminars and workshops and other educational resources that I've created is I'm really in support of people healing from their divorce journey in a way that is quick, that is lasting, that really brings them to that place where they can look, as I do, on an experience that is very, you know, devastating. It really rips you open from the inside out. But I look back at that really as one of the most amazing gifts of my life because of the woman that I've become as a result of the journey. The relationships that we can have are really such a factor of our willingness to go inside ourselves to see what resources that we already had within us and pull those out so that we can really change our perspectives. We can learn to look at life not as a like it's being done to us, but really put you in the driver's seat so that you can create a life that is loving. We all deserve that. Create relationships that are deep and meaningful and connected and have success in our businesses and in our health and in many other ways of our lives. So the work that I do is really about teaching people how to thrive in all aspects of their life. And certainly parenting and divorce is one that's very near and dear to my heart because it's one where I've had my greatest learning and my greatest gifts have come to me through that. So people can learn more about what I offer. I also created a new program. It's like almost like a you know, divorce in a box, how to move through it quickly. It's called the Divorce Resource Kit.
Well, I think you'll be able to tell us more about that as we get towards
sure.
the
okay,
end.
Sure. Okay, well, let's move into the call.
I wanted to make time for doing that. But
mm-hmm.
I just briefly, I just wanted to introduce myself. I am the author of the book, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? I'll create a storybook guide for preparing your children with love, and it's available on my website at childcenterdivorce.com. And let's get started now, because I titled this program Finding the Gift in Your Divorce, and the introduction that was sent to all of you asks, can there be a gift for you and your children in your divorce? Rather than staying stuck in the pain, can we learn to transform adversity into opportunity? Can we use divorce to heal our wounds and help us develop into more loving, aware beings? And let's start by asking the three of you, what do we mean by gift? What is a gift in our divorce when we all know what a life-destroying experience this can be for so many people? Give us your perspectives about that, and let's start with you, Jeffrey.
Well, it's really the thrust of the work I do is in taking a divorce and using it as a catalyst for an extraordinary life, and that's really based on Debbie's book, Spiritual Divorce. The base concept of gift is that there is something, there's a reason that things have occurred. There's a reason that you found yourself in the situation you found yourself in. And for many of us, we get stuck in looking for what's wrong with that, in blaming and in resentment, rather than looking for, well, what if this was intended to make my life better? That in reality, I am supposed to learn a lesson here in this particular situation, in this particular relationship. And rather than looking for what's wrong and trying to find everything wrong with that, if I spent my time looking for, okay, what happened here? What lesson can I learn? And what's available to me today, now that I've done this, that wasn't available for me? I know this from my own personal self, that I was not a good parent. I was not a good father. I was gone, and I was completely out of it. And my wife at the time, my ex-wife, was not a good mother. When we divorced, we both became exceptional parents. We were better apart than we were together. My children benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really a matter of interpretation and perspective that one has to say, all right, it's that old story. You all heard the story of the the little girl that goes to the barn and with her brother, and the father's there, and the little girl is going, I'm not going near all that manure, and the little boy is jumping in it. And the father says, well, you know, what are you doing in there? And the little boy goes, with all of this manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. We all have to be ready to go looking for that pony.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that, I think the perspective that Jeff and the spiritual divorce work is really wonderful for this. I think our society is very geared to, you know, getting into the blame game and creating a lot of drama. And obviously when people go through a divorce, everybody around them says, oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, and that's a very natural first reaction, but we don't want to encourage people to stay stuck in that victim place. And so one thing I really think is important for, you know, people listening to this call to realize is to ask yourself better questions. A lot of time people get hung up on asking, well, why me? Why did this happen? How could he or she do this to me? And we're looking for all those answers that really do not ultimately empower us. They don't illuminate us. They don't give us new insight. And so to ask instead the question, what can I learn from this? If my soul had a game plan for me before I got here, What was the message? What was the lesson I was supposed to get from this particular part of my curriculum here on the planet Earth? And looking at it from that perspective, the answers will start to come and the gifts will start to become apparent, but it just takes a willingness to start looking for them.
I love that. What about you, Susan? What's
well, as you know, Roz, I had a life-threatening divorce. I was married to a clinical psychologist who started to use human growth hormone, which at the time nobody knew was dangerous, but in fact he ended up being psychotic, bought a shotgun, pointed at me, all the rest of it. And I went into hiding for about 7 years. And during those years, I knew that I was never going to allow anybody to go through what I went through without having the tools and skills that I acquired. For me, the gift was it was a wake-up call. I was very naive, obviously. And I didn't have the tools and skills I needed to create peace in an environment with deeply disturbed people. Now I give workshops in prison, you know, and the guys in prison are there because of domestic violence, and they love me, you know, because I'm able to create a peaceful, compassionate environment with deeply troubled, deeply angry, deeply frightened and sad people. And I didn't have those tools and skills. And for me, the other gift was I had always devoted my life to service. That's who I am. That's who I always was. But it wasn't until I found my calling as a result of becoming a divorce coach and then a marriage coach and a mediator that I really had the life that I love. And certainly that was not my intention when I got married, but that's how it turned out.
So this is wonderful. If we change our perspective and really start looking for the gifts, it gives us a whole different way of seeing what we're experiencing. Can you talk to us about some of the most valuable gifts or insights that we can get if we really want to look at our divorce and learn and grow from it?
I think one of the most powerful gifts that I received was really learning about the need to value and honor my own needs and to speak up for that. So making requests of people, like people that I'm in relationship with, people like my children, and really seeing that I am the one who's responsible for my happiness. I had, you know, like many people, grown up in a model where I saw my mother really serving the family, serving her husband, serving her children, serving her community to the point of her own exhaustion, and thinking that maybe one day somebody would come along and award the martyr medal, and that didn't happen. And so that was what my training had been. And so for me, one of the most powerful gifts of the divorce was to see that my own happiness and my love for myself was really needing to come from me. And so like Susan, you know, the wake-up call, you know, it feels like a 2x4 over the side of the head.
Mm-hmm.
But thank goodness for that, because it's like, well, listen, you know, I don't want to live my life on autopilot, playing out somebody else's programming. I mean, my parents, everybody's parents, you know, they all do the best they can with the tools they had.
Mm-hmm.
But was that the legacy I wanted to pass on to my children? And going through this relationship breakup, my answer was no, I wanted to create a different legacy. Let them create their own dramas. Let them create their own learnings. I don't want to just automatically have it be a pass-through. So that's when I really started to wake up and realize that I need to be the one who's in the driver's seat. So that sense of speaking up for yourself, getting clear in your communication with people. Otherwise, we're just really, we're ripping ourselves off of what we really need, and we're also ripping the people that we say we love when we withhold from them what we really truly, you know, desire or expect in relationship.
And Jeff, do you have any insights that you could contribute about the gifts?
Well, I can speak personally, and I can speak with the literally thousands of people that I've worked with. I know for me, the biggest gift of all of this, because I've been divorced four times. I not only am a master coach, but I'm a master at divorce. I know it backwards and forwards. There's nothing that's occurred in divorce that I haven't been through.
Wow.
From courtroom battles to, you know, to peaceful reconciliations. And so having that background, there's no way. I was a corporate executive. There's not a chance in the world that I would be teaching and training coaches in this work and working with individuals at the resolution of their relationship issues. The other thing that's, I think, the biggest gift in this is that divorce happens. It's not just a legal thing. It happens in relationships every day. Our relationship changes, and in that moment, everything about the relationship is different. And for many of us, it is those incremental changes that add up to the relationship not working anymore. So in having really being in divorce, being through the process repeatedly and looking at it, it's changed my career. It's changed my outlook on life. It's put me in a position where I am empathetic and sympathetic and open in so many ways, and my entire life has changed. And I see that happen continually when people open themselves to the possibility of something new in divorce, and that's exactly what it is. For most of us, we can't see a new possibility when we're going through a divorce. We can only see pain. But when we can open ourselves to that possibility, the gifts are everywhere.
Yeah, and that's so wonderful, because when you're feeling really down and bleak, to just get a glimpse of that perspective and understanding can make a huge difference to let you know that there is something of great value you'll be able to take away from this experience. And having gone through a divorce myself, I feel the same way, that there are so many gifts, and you really can grow in so many ways if you're looking for it. And that's my next question for all of you.
Did you want me to answer this question before?
I'm so sorry. I certainly did.
That's okay. I'll be brief. The key gifts in any life change, in my opinion, with all the people I coach in so many different life scenarios, is we have to be able to bring ourselves back to peace. And I teach the 4.5-minute rule. That if people don't have the tools and skills that I teach or that someone else offers them to bring themselves back to peace, get out of fear, anger, and sadness, within 4.5 minutes or less, they're just generating more of what they don't want. Now, they can do it with, you know, I teach, as I said, the 6-part conversation, which starts with self-empathy and then moves on to empathy for the other person. And when they've mastered that, any relationship becomes compassionate and cooperative. That doesn't mean that people want to stay together forever, but it means they get out of the fight or flight model forever. And as I teach, people have the option of living in a life that's peaceful and powerful, not one or the other. And another thing that is crucial, as we're speaking to people now, some of whom are divorced already and having challenges with children, some of who are contemplating divorce, there is nothing more powerful than avoiding some of these problems. And the biggest strategy that works to avoid these problems is to maintain financial independence for each spouse.
Ah, so that's a whole other piece of the puzzle. Very interesting. Well, we'll get into a little bit more about the tools and techniques that you're offering, because I think our listeners will really be interested in hearing more about that. But I had one more question for the three of you, and that is, how can we grow through adversity? It's a how question. We're understanding that there is a gift and you can find it, but what do I have to do to get myself into that right headspace so that I can begin to grow and learn from it?
Well, I'll jump in on that one. It's Carolyn. This was the big question that I asked myself as I, 2 years of marriage counseling and workshops and therapy together and a 20-year relationship basically crumbling around me was, how do I get through this? I mean, if this is ending, and it is ending because I'm just so, very unhappy in this relationship now, what could it possibly be? But I knew instinctively that I did not want to just scrape through. I didn't want to just survive. And so this is, was really a decision I made early on. And thank goodness I found, the work of Debbie Ford and the Spiritual Divorce Principles was very powerful in supporting me and seeing that there was something else than just a mere survival mindset that's available. And so actually, there's a chapter in my book where I teach, and I do a lot of teleseminars and teaching around the Thrive Principles. And basically the word THRIVE is an acronym for the principles of trust, honesty, responsibility, integrity, vision, and expression. And, we don't have time to get into, how you can use those principles, but really that is a little, memory aid, and to really look through that as a framework at, well, man, this challenge is really, what am I going to do? How do I set the bar higher so I don't just get through it, but I really want to soar? I want to use this as a jumping off point into some new powerful place, a greater expression of myself. Those principles, learning how to trust yourself, trusting that you're going to make mistakes and that you're going to learn and grow absolutely, brilliantly as a result of it. Taking responsibility for what's yours, learning what's not yours to take responsibility for. Creating a vision, like where is that, that beautiful space? Like what do you want to see in your life down the road? And feeling yourself move towards that rather than, like I say, being in the car, without that vision, it's like you're driving the car, but you're only focusing on the rearview mirror. So the Thrive Principles as a tool to help you turn anything around and really ask those deeper questions, not about why is this happening to me, but how can I learn and grow from this? Why did I create this in the first place? Where's the gift in this? And I'm going for the gift. I'm tired of staying stuck in the pain and the victimization of it.
Mm. Yes. Key questions. Mm-hmm. So important to be asking yourself those questions. Susan, what do you have to say about the how?
Everything we are because of our brain. And I'm a teacher of whole brain thinking based on the Herman model, and it's taught at and used at 90% of the Fortune companies in America. That's a very, very high level of competence, and it's been taught at the Wharton School as well. And yet, here I teach it, and I'm one of the few people that teaches it to families, individuals, and small corporations. And all of the problems that we have had, and I speak for myself and the thousands of people I've worked with in these last 10 years, are because of our brains. If I had had a less trusting brain and a more practical brain, I would have avoided that marriage, first of all. Mm-hmm. If I had a less loving brain and a more practical, financially driven brain, I would have had a much easier outcome in the marriage and the divorce. We are just a brain. And so, of course, naturally, the answer to your question, well, I teach people whole brain thinking. You have the ability, neuroplasticity. In this day and age, we now know we can change our brain. I have people manually move their attention to the part of their brain that's less active. So the person who isn't generating a deep level of intimacy and passion and whose spouse is complaining about that needs to manually walk himself over to that part of the brain and in working with me generate that, because she's not going to get intimacy and passion if she's all alone. But that's only one of the four challenges, the basic challenges that people have. Some people are complaining because their spouse isn't organized enough or consistent enough or supportive enough. And some are complaining because there's not enough financial security, and some are complaining because there's not enough peace and freedom. And as we begin to understand what people's needs are, it is so easy to understand their needs when you have a vocabulary for it and when you have a desire to meet more needs and the skills and tools to do it.
Mm, got it. And Jeff, what's your perspective on the how?
Well, I take a little more simplistic approach and view. I operate on one base principle, and that is you're not going to heal it if you don't feel it. And so I look at people, most people get stuck because they don't want to feel their feelings because they're resistant. In fact, the pain of their feelings is the resistance. And that when we are in pain, when we are emotionally active, we actually lose that brain. We actually lose intelligence and capability. And resisting us keeps us in that. So I really, what I think the how-to is to get people to step into those feelings, to actually experience that, pull the wisdom out of of those feelings, what's really there for them, so they can move forward. I spent years, I'm a Stanford MBA, I've run, huge companies. I've been out in all that with an organizational development guy, and it wasn't until I came to these models that I found something that really worked, that got me past my tricky brain, because I am a smart rat and I can figure anything out and figure a way around it. So it's really stepping into my feelings and finding out what's there. And that's what I try and do with my clients and my students, is to really get them to get that and not try and avoid it. And that allows you to get the clear space to see possibility, to create that new vision, and to step into a new life.
Wonderful. Well, we have some excellent perspectives, and before we move ahead, I want to remind everyone that we will open the call for questions, and you also can write questions in right on the website where you're listening to this teleseminar. So for those of you who are listening through the web, and we have a question from David in Minnesota, who is asking if Carolyn could just provide her Thrive principles once more. Obviously, we're taking notes. And
sure thing. I said them a little quickly. Thanks, David, for the question. Yeah, it's the first one is trust, and then honesty, responsibility, integrity, vision, and expression. And if people want more information about the Thrive principles, they're available in a free report that I offer at my thriveafterdivorce.com site. You can sign up there for my e-zine, and you'll get a copy and more information about it.
Excellent.
And how to use them.
Excellent. We also have a question written in from R. Donahue in Indiana. And this question is a little more complex, but it's one that I think many people really have issues about. They're asking, what do you do if your family's been renting your home from your spouse's parents and you have three precious boys, 3, 5, and 7 years old, and your spouse files for divorce, making it look to your boys like you're the one leaving since you've been their primary caretaker in the home? How do you convey to your boys that not only do you not want to split up, but that you're not leaving them by choice? This is a tough situation, and Susan, do you have any?
Yeah, thank you so much. I was champing at the bit. Clearly, he needs to have a communication with his wife.
And we don't know for sure if this is a he or a she.
Thank you. I guess
R. Donahue. So I'm not sure.
Gotcha.
If this is a mom or a dad.
Gotcha. The person who has written this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the person who's written this is already demonstrating that there's a huge need for enhanced communication with the spouse. The problem is not how he or she tells the children. The problem is how he or she communicates with the spouse so that they tell the children. And, of course, that's what I offer in my one-hour free telephone conversation. I actually teach people how to say the actual words. I support them in creating the actual script, and I let them practice it. Because it's all about empathy for the other person. If you want to create any kind of a cooperative solution, you've got to start with empathy for that other person first.
Yes, and that's always a hard thing for people when you're feeling so emotionally torn up. But in the longer run, if you could put yourself in that other person's place.
Well, you know, when I say it's the first thing you do is empathy for them, the first thing you do out loud, where you start in my six-part conversation is silent, and you start with self-empathy, and I teach them that too, because of course you're right. If you don't know how to calm yourself down within 4.5 minutes or less, there is no way that you're going to enjoy relationships. All relationships are based on our need to be able to calm ourselves down before speaking.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Do you have a response to this, Jeffrey?
Oh, yeah. The answers for that question, you know, one, looking to the outside, looking to someone else for guidance about how to handle a situation like that, in my opinion, probably isn't the right direction. I don't know that there is a specific answer to that, but the advice I would give to anyone is if you're dependent on your ex, on your spouse, your ex-spouse, on anyone in a relationship for anything, you've actually just given all your power away. And so what I would be recommending is that you tell the truth. Now, you obviously have to take into consideration children and where they are and how you're going to relay that message. But the truth is you're going to have to move. And saying it any other way and trying to mitigate that or becoming dependent on someone who's already in a confrontation with you and obviously putting you in a difficult situation probably is giving more of your power away. And so I would be recommending that they stand in, here's the truth, here's the situation, and really not even have an expectation that the ex would take care of this in a way that would work. Have a conversation with your children directly and explain it as honestly, as with as much certainty and peace as you possibly can. Here's what's going to have to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I would add, without implying that the other parent is a bad parent.
No make wrong. Mm-hmm. No make wrong at all.
Mm-hmm. Important yeah. piece of it. And Carolyn?
Yeah, well, I'm going to sort of pick one of both. I think there needs to be really, you know, the two conversations. It's important that as parents, you know, going through a divorce, we're human beings too. We have our emotional states, and obviously this person is upset. And the thing is not to, you know, your kids feel that from you. Whether you're speaking or not, you're always communicating something energetically, and kids are amazingly intuitive, and they will pick that up in a nanosecond. So I think, you know, the person here, whether it's mom or dad, needs to sit down and say, listen, yes, you know, I'm feeling sad. You know, things are changing. However, here's what I know is true. I will always love you. We will find our way through this. This is the kind of, you know, person I am, and that will never change. So while our house may be changing, our circumstances are changing, that my love for you is constant, and, you know, mom and dad, we will work together to sort this out. I would also recommend having a conversation with the spouse, because it sounds like the conversation got started and, you know, a bit of propaganda perhaps was put into the ears of these young children. And I would sit down with that person and say, listen, you know, here's what's happening. The kids have one impression, and it's not necessarily the truth. And this is not boding well for us being able to be good co-parents in the long run. And that is my goal. You know, we may not love each other anymore and be married to each other. You might be the one who wants to, you know, end this marriage. And it's not my choice, and I need to deal with that. But I will find, you know, resources, a divorce coach, you know, counselor, somebody I can work with. But what I request from you is that we get into more of a business partnership so that we can raise healthy, responsible, loving, you know, children. Because we've, you know, these kids are young. They've got another 20 years of co-parenting to be doing together. And to start it off on that basis, I mean, you want to, you know, call a spade a spade. And just let them know that honest, open communication should be happening, but it should be between the parents and not using the children as a go-between.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So we have some three differing perspectives that are complementary, but everyone is taking their own tact depending on their personality and belief system, and it's wonderful for our listeners to hear this, and you can relate to the perspective that feels closest to your own, and understand that there in this situation there are no absolutes, but there are definitely ways of taking a positive tact in all of this and coming away without creating more alienation. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the goal of all of this.
And if I can just add another point there to what you just said there, Roslyn, I mean, really the key is you have to, I mean, I learned this lesson, I remember myself in my divorce when we were mediating our separation agreement, and I came out of one particularly tough session, and I said to a close friend of mine, I said, you know, I don't understand it. I thought that we were going to try and do this the right way and, you know, take the high road, and he's being such a jerk and yada, yada. I was, you know, quite upset. And she looked at me and she said, well, you know, if he didn't love and respect you while you were married, and that's why you're getting divorced, why would he all of a sudden do that now while you're in the process of sorting out your divorce. Mm-hmm. And I realized, yes, I was completely giving away my power. I was like, and this is what I was talking about as being one of the biggest gifts for me, realizing that I was the one who needed to find my way to creating my life the way I wanted it to be. So relying upon myself, I could make a request for support or good communication. I mean, in this circumstance, make the request from the ex-spouse that you handle it a certain way. They may say yes or they may say no. And if they say no, how are you still going to handle those children? How are you still going to, you know, keep your emotional balance and move your life forward rather than staying in a place of limbo where you're going to wait until your ex-spouse hands you something that you think they're going to give you, which is chances are not high. That's going to happen.
Okay. What I'm hearing is that each one of us is saying if we had more tools and skills, we would have had a different outcome. And each one of us is offering tools and skills for the public, which is just a wonderful, wonderful way of approaching it.
Yes, and which is
Absolutely. Bringing
me to our next question for you. And you could start, Susan, because I was asking about the tools and techniques that you have and suggest that would be useful for people going
Thank
through
you.
Divorce
Thank you.
And
yeah.
moving past divorce.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The HeartSpace system includes about 100 different tools and skills, which obviously I can't go into tonight. One of them is marital mediation. I actually teach my clients how to work in the mediation. Many of my clients have actually said to the mediator, with their spouse's permission, you know, can I take it from here, basically? And they mediate their own divorce. The skills and tools of communication that are included in the HeartSpace system are so powerful that we're able to motivate and inspire alcoholics and drug addicts to get and stay clean and sober. And again, this is 100% of the time if one committed family member acquires these skills and uses them. And so it's really remarkable what's possible when you see the situation you're enduring in your life as a gift, and then from that moment, like those of us on the phone today, you decide that you are committed to transforming the quality of your life. And for that reason, I offer a free one-hour telephone session so people can get a taste of it.
Well, that certainly is a wonderful gift for everyone who's listening to take advantage of, and we'll make sure you get that information before the end of the call. And Jeffrey, you want to tell us about some of the tools and techniques that you suggest?
I'd love to. Thank you for the opportunity. Each relationship situation, whether you're going through a divorce or you're just struggling within the context of a relationship and you need that relationship to change, you need that relationship to be different, it takes perspective. The one thing you can't see in the entire world is yourself, and it's the only thing you have any control about. The only thing that you really have any say in. And so I recommend that you do work with yourself, that you do work on yourself. You know, if you're going through and struggling with a relationship issue, get a coach. Hire a coach. Hire a spiritual divorce coach. Hire a coach that's going to work on you. It's very difficult to work on a relationship if you've got a bunch of junk in the space. And that's really the key to the coaching models that we use, is it works on you so that you can be a better person in that relationship and you can express what you want and need and see if that relationship really serves that. Secondly, a lot of people just want to be in the work, and they come to our programs and our trainings just to learn more about this work, to learn more about healing their own wounds. As Carolyn, that's what brought her to the work, was a relationship issue, and she came to shadow work and really identified a ton of her own shadows, which really propelled her out into the world in such a huge way. And that's what's available when you make an investment in yourself. So you can come to spiritualdivorce.com or debbieford.com, and there's a whole array of programs and products that are available to help you work on you. That is the single largest investment you can make, identifying the parts of yourself and the limiting beliefs that you have and coming up with ways to work on that. And I cannot recommend any higher. If you're interested in healing your heart and not repeating, because I married the same woman 4 times. She was just in a different body. Mm-hmm. Every time.
Yep.
And different personality, but the same woman. Mm-hmm. You don't want to repeat that. Get some help. Hire a spiritual divorce coach. Have them help you heal your heart. Your heart is what's at stake here. And if you do that, you're never going to repeat that. You're going to get that lesson. You're going to heal your heart, and you're going to be open to a whole new world, an extraordinary world for yourself going forward.
The beauty
that's
of the
DebbieFord.com. Thousands of products there.
Thank you. The beauty of the messages that we're hearing from all of our experts tonight is that in most cases, you don't get a lot of information about the you part of the divorce, and it's always pointing the finger out there and looking, talking about the ex and other things. And the wisdom that you're getting tonight from these three people is so valuable, because if you don't really start by working on the you portion, then you're not going to be making any changes, and you can move into divorce number 2, 3, 4, and 5 because
there's only you.
Exactly.
That's what we're all saying. There's only you. You know,
exactly.
There isn't anybody else. If I enter one of my clients' bodies, their marriage would turn around that very day. And the same is true for every single one of us on this phone. If we, with our tools and skills, entered into our clients' bodies and were able then to speak these tools and skills, this language and this ability to bring peace and all of that, the marriage would turn around within days.
Yeah, I hear that, and it's refreshing for people to get that and understand it. And Carolyn, you have a contribution to this?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks. I think I completely agree that unless you address the you, it's like trying to describe in intimate detail the top of an iceberg and just trying to forget that there's 95% of it below the water that's really holding up the structure of what's actually visible. So the kind of coaching I do, obviously I've been trained in Debbie Ford's work as a master integrative coach and spiritual divorce coach. Very, very powerful tools. I had a session with a client just last month, and we just had that one initial coaching session. I do offer a complimentary coaching session. And she came back the next week when she started her program with me, and she said, people have been telling me that I'm looking different and I'm speaking, like they're wondering what I'm doing differently. And she was, and that was just off of, a few awarenesses that was helping this person to stop looking outside of herself for answers, stop looking outside for salvation, and really turning her attention and her commitment to change to inside and to herself. And really it's a matter of where can you find the tools that really help you go from that sort of emotional adolescence or spiritual adolescence that so many people, a lot of our culture and our comedy is based on that. And, we are the grown-ups now. I just had a conversation with one of my mentors recently, and we are really, this is our time. We need to be the elders of our tribes. There is nobody else out there who's going to show up with the right answer for us. So we need to really take the reins of our life in our own hands. And the way that I do that with my clients is through individual coaching. I offer teleseminars. I've created a wonderful product called the Divorce Resource Kit, which you can learn more about at divorceresourcekit.com. And it's really, it's 8 hours of information about all of the main pieces of the divorce puzzle that people have questions about that they've sent me over the years. About your finances, about legal solutions, about how do you deal with your ex, what about dating and new relationships. And so there's a wonderful programs in there, and many experts that I've interviewed over the years are part of that product as well. But the beautiful thing is that you will be able to, within 15 minutes, go through a guided visualization that will help you map out your specific strategy for any one of those divorce puzzle pieces. So that's something that if I had only had that, it would have saved literally years of time and thousands of dollars, because unfortunately many people don't do their emotional homework, and they end up inadvertently doing it in their lawyer's office when they're clocking, $300 to $700 an hour in legal fees, and it just gets to be overwhelming. So I second Jeff's request for people to really invest in themselves and their soul, and really clearing out those limiting beliefs. It's like you have rust in your pipes. Your water, your drink is not going to be clean. We need to take care of that. We need to do that on an ongoing basis. And if not just for our own sake, particularly those of us who are on the call who have children. And they were, initially I wasn't going to do any of this work for myself because I just, had the belief that I wasn't worth it. But when I realized my young children were going to be, they do what you do, not what you say. and that they were going to, you know, continue in my patterns. I thought, no way. I need to wake up. I need to clear the rust out of my pipes so that I can be a present, conscious, loving parent that I know I can be and that my children absolutely deserve to have. So,
Rosa,
yeah,
if I could, I'd just like to add one thing.
Sure.
That if you're listening to this call and one of these is resonating, each one of us is offering you a free opportunity to experience it. You can call in and have a session. You can call in and listen to a teleclass. I do a monthly call once a month in spiritual divorce for people to get an experience of that so they can test it out and see what works. The issue is not what one are you going to do, but to do something.
Yes.
That if you're sitting in pain and you're sitting in misery, whatever resonates with you here, each person's different. If something strikes you, contact that person and do something about it. Don't just sit there and say, because I know it'll happen. Most of you will leave this call and go, I'll do something in a couple of days. You won't. You'll be in the same place 4 months from today.
Yeah.
So contact Carolyn. Contact Susan. Contact me. You know, let us know. And if this resonates for you, and you can have an experience of that and start your own process to find out what works for you.
Absolutely.
Can I just make one very quick point about that, Ross? The important thing is to remember that you know, Einstein's quote goes along the lines of, you know, problems cannot be solved at the same level of thinking that creates them. And I think a lot of people get themselves stuck in not being able to find the gift in their divorce because they surround themselves with people who really don't understand the process, who perhaps haven't been through it, or maybe they had a bad experience themselves. So whatever you do, if one of the three of us speaks to you, that's great. If not, find somebody who has some training who can help you with your emotional homework, with your communication skills, and with having you take responsibility for how you want to create and live your life. Because really, you know, as much as our family and friends, they love us, sometimes they can, you know, add more fuel to the fire of our suffering than we want to admit.
I totally agree with that. And this is National Child Centered Divorce Month, the reason why we're doing all of this. And so it's so important to keep in mind that whatever decisions we make regarding our divorce and whatever actions we take, if we're parents, then we have another level of responsibility towards those young people that we've brought up into the world. And it's so much more crucial to make decisions that are coming from the best place because we're role models for our children. And we have several questions coming in, but I did want to unmute the lines for a second and see if there's any question we can answer briefly before this call comes to an end. Just one second. Did I unmute the lines? Doesn't seem to be a difference. Then let me ask, someone asked a question in California about the children specifically. This is Michelle, and Michelle is saying, we're talking a lot about the parents, but what exactly are you suggesting that we do to promote the health and well-being of the children and to support them? So why don't we focus...
May I answer that?
Yes.
Just quickly? Okay, only because... the clinical psychologist that advises my company, Frank Zizzo, has said for years that children can function very, very well in a divorce. They can function very, very well in a marriage. The key component to both is, are they peaceful?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to know that in a child-centered divorce and the promotion of this concept, peaceful communication between spouses is non-negotiable. And if people do not have that skill, and most people don't, I certainly didn't, then this is what they must learn. And as Jeffrey said, whether they learn it from any one of us on the call, I teach it, and to the degree that anyone else focuses specifically on teaching peaceful communication, that is crucial.
Absolutely.
Children need peace.
Totally agree. Carolyn, you have a...
Yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, the obvious one to not do is to put your children in the middle and have them be pawns and to have them be messengers or spies or even to become therapists for their parents. you know, it seems like a really clear thing, but I don't think we can repeat it enough, because there's just time and time again where you find people in their pain end up manipulating their children into one of those sort of, you know, middle positions. And it's very tough, because the kids do need to be free to be able to have a relationship, a loving relationship, I believe, with both parents, if that's, I think that that is, you know, the great place to start. I know, obviously, in some situations, if there's, you know, issues of safety around the children, then that's a completely different type of story. But we don't want to be putting our kids in the middle, because they get caught in the crossfire. And then that is the legacy we hand on. And to have that perspective that how we treat our, it's not, we're not just raising our children. We are raising the parents of our grandchildren. And so when you see that this legacy that we have and how we parent our kids goes well beyond just, you know, the little ones that we may have in the house right now, but it has a lasting intergenerational impact, I really hope that that will, you know, help people to see, whoa, I do need some support. I need to learn some of these peaceful communication skills. I need to, you know, find an outlet so I can get my emotional homework done, so I'm not, you know, doing it indirectly or maybe not so subtly with my kids, because that's inappropriate. Kids need to be kids. They don't need to be therapists or messengers or spies.
So well said, and so important. Jeffrey, what is your perspective on this?
Well, again, I take sort of a low-key approach to that. I have, having had a great deal of difficulty with my children as a result of divorce, it's near and dear. But I take what I call the airline approach. You know, when you're flying on a plane and you're with your children, they tell you to put your mask on first, and there's a reason they do that, so you can be there for your children. And when you don't put your mask on emotionally and spiritually, you're doing exactly what the airline says not to do. We have to put ourselves in a place that we can be saved if we want to save our children. And most of us don't get that. We're codependent, and we get sucked into thinking, I'll throw myself into saving my children. And in doing that, we put them in a very sick environment.
Mm.
And so I say, put your mask on first. Make sure that you're healthy enough to take care of your children. I work with many people. They're not healthy enough to take care of their children. They're so messed up with their own stuff. And the best thing they could do is to work on their stuff so they can be there for their children.
Right. And people aren't getting that message often enough to truly understand it. So thank you for sharing that. While the hour is getting close to end, I want to make sure that each of you can provide your contact information so our listeners can communicate with you and take advantage of all the wonderful offers that you have for them. So why don't we start with you, Susan?
TheDivorceForum.com. Please send me an email requesting your free one-hour private consultation. Please sign up for the e-zine, and you'll get one of my e-books free. Divorce the Merry-Go-Round is the one we're offering as a gift right now. And you can receive a lot of different things. You'll receive information about the six-part conversation, about the heart space system, and you'll be able to communicate with me directly and ask me questions directly. So this is about support. This is about mastering the tools and skills you need to generate whole brain thinking so that you can create the peaceful marriages and the peaceful divorces that you desire.
Thank you. And Jeffrey, what's your contact information?
Jeff@debbieford.com, and go to Debbie's website, www.debbieford.com. Anyone on this call that contacts me, I will get you a discount on her new movie. I will get you a discount on her books. I will get you a discount on any one of our upcoming workshops or trainings. Just contact me if this resonated with you. Love to speak with you about it. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you. And Carolyn?
Yeah, I would love for people to come and visit me at thriveafterdivorce.com. I offer an e-zine called The Thrive Guide that comes out twice a month, and there's a special report that you'll get as my thank you for joining my list. And there you'll find out more about my teleclasses and some of my products like the 7 Pitfalls of Single Parenting, What to Avoid to Help Your Children Thrive After Divorce, or the Divorce Resource Kit, which is, I think, a fantastic resource that's just new and available for people to really chart their course with real clarity through their divorce journey. And I do offer complimentary coaching sessions, so if you're interested, there is a spot on the website where you can click and indicate your interest, and I would be delighted to support you. I think this is, it is such important work to do, and I would, like we said earlier in the call, regardless of who or what, I mean, just find something, because it's unreasonable to expect that you know or you have the resources just innately to be able to go through such a challenging time. And I think we spoke about this earlier. At a time when you are going to be asked to make some of the most important decisions, legal, financial, social, family, of your life, your emotions are at their most, unpredictable and unreliable. You're on that emotional roller coaster. So it's not a good confluence of these two things coming together. So find yourself some support, and I would be delighted to meet you at thriveafterdivorce.com.
And thank you. And just to remind you listeners as well that my website is childcenteredivorce.com. I have a free e-zine on parenting and divorce issues. I do coaching and group coaching as well, and my book is How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? A Create a Storybook Guide to Preparing Your Children with Love, which can be found at howdoitellthekids.com. In the couple of minutes we have left, if you could each just give me a sentence that you want to remind our listeners to take away with them, that would be really valuable.
Hmm. Yes, this is Susan.
Mm-hmm.
Peace begins with us. We cannot assume that our parents, our family, our children, anybody else is going to offer us peace. Peace begins with us, and that is the mission of the Marriage Forum, teaching people how to self-generate peace within and then peace within their families. And that's at thedivorceforum.com. And also thepeaceforum.org.
Thank you
so much, everybody.
And Jeffrey.
I go back to what I said earlier. You can't heal it if you don't feel it. So take the time. You know, what you've been doing probably hasn't been working. If you're going to continue to do that, it's probably not going to work. So see if you can't find the wisdom in those feelings. Step into them.
Excellent. And Carolyn?
Yeah, I would say my last piece of advice for people on this call is to make a decision. Too often we get stuck in that, well, how is this going to work, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But you just need to make the decision that you want to thrive. And I'm going to suggest that if you're here on this call, you found out about this, you have already inside made that decision that you want something different for your life. And that's your job, is just really make a decision that you aren't going to settle, that you're looking for the gift, and the answers will start to come, but you need to just make that decision and allow the answers to come to you and the resources.
I want to let everyone know that next week on July 14th, we're having another free teleseminar in recognition of Child-Centered Divorce Week. The topic is creating a win-win child-centered divorce. And we're going to be having a wonderful roster of people providing information. A killer divorce attorney turned mediator, Cynthia Tiano, collaborative attorney Michael Mastrassi, and mediator and parenting coordinator Cindy Harari, as well as myself. We're going to be talking about all facets of creating the most positive outcome for your children. So the information will be available on the website at childsharing.com/child-centered-divorce, and we're looking forward to having all of you participate with us. If there's anything else our guests want to say, we have literally 1 minute left. And
Rosalind, I just want to say thank you so much for organizing this month and this series of calls. I just have taking notes on who's speaking next week, because I think they're all excellent. So I just want to really acknowledge and thank you for what you're doing to bring awareness to, child-centered divorce and more peace in our families. We can create that. So thank you for what you've done.
Well, thank you. I think working together as a network has really proven very fruitful for us all, and I think we're all going to continue, and we're going to make an impact in this throughout North America and the rest of the world in changing people's understandings of outcomes for divorce. So thank you all. I have such wonderful guests tonight, and Carolyn and Jeff and Susan, I'm sorry. Carolyn, Jeff, and Susan, thank you for being with us tonight and for all your wonderful wisdom. We sure appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you all again next week. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.